You know, one of the things the enemy wants to do in your life is to take what's a blessing and turn it into bondage. Take what is a blessing and turn it to bondage. To begin to look at something instead of saying, I get to saying, I got to. And this can happen across the board. And it does happen. This is a common attack of the enemy. And this is what the Lord wants me to share with you. Because you can begin to look at, oh, you know, God, really, seriously, I gotta ask for forgiveness? No, you get to ask for forgiveness. God, do I gotta be in your word? No, you get to be in his word. The world does this over and over and over and over and over. They look at marriages. Anybody ever heard the ball and chain analogy? You can nod your head, they're in the other room. Somebody like see, that's twisted. Because that's a vehicle of blessing. People look at it, you gotta go to church? No, I get to go to church. Do you got to be a deacon? No, you get to be a deacon. And if you want to know real bondage, try not walking in your calling. And watch what happens. I've tried the Jonah thing. Being in the belly of a whale is no way to live. Running from God, from what he's telling you to do. John, in the book of John, Jesus says, and it's a familiar passage, you don't need to turn there. He says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A few verses later, therefore the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Part of your freedom. Now, I'm talking about in terms of sanctification. Positionally, when you're forgiven, born again, you're set free. But we all understand that it's a process of being set free from the things that would hold us back. Your maximum freedom comes when you walk fully into what you're called in. Because if you do anything else, you're running from God like Jonah. And I have no doubt in my mind that some of us, notice the pronoun us, not you guys, or y'all, or yous guys, but us. Part of the problem is we look at things that we get to do as things we got to do. And no doubt some of you have looked at it, oh, I gotta be a deacon. No, you've been called to be a deacon. And to experience maximum freedom is to walk in those giftings. To embrace that. I said, I think it was last Sunday. You know, being in ministry is not something I do, it's my life. It involves things that I do, but it's much more than that. Being a deacon is not something you do. It's your life. Now, I don't mean that it's 24/7. We all need time to sleep and eat and spend time with loved ones. But have you begun to look at your blessing as bondage? I could phrase that a different way. Where are you looking at your blessing as bondage? Are you looking at being here on a Thursday night as a bondage? It's a blessing. Looking at leading a life group as bondage, it's a blessing. And it's through God's grace, because you and I don't deserve any of this. And yet the God who knows everything about us calls us to do this. And not just so he can bless others through us, but because he wants to bless us. You know, I'm just going to give you a minute or two to think of any area in your life where you've began to look at a blessing as bondage. And I'll just let the Holy Spirit do his work, and in a few minutes I'll close in prayer and the ladies will come back in. I'll kick this time off with a short prayer, and then just kind of a time of silence, if you will, let you hear from the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you. We ask individually and corporately for your forgiveness, and ask for your Holy Spirit to move in our hearts. And like the psalmists say, Lord, examine us. Show us and tell us if there's something wrong. Show us and tell us if we've been looking at any blessing, our job, our calling, our family, our marriage, our friendships, our church, the services, the things we're called to, any of that. If we've been looking at any of our blessings as bondage, Lord, show us and cause us to ask you for forgiveness. Just take a moment and listen for the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for our many blessings. And Lord, we ask for your forgiveness for any area of our life that we've looked at your blessings, at your callings, at your giftings, in a way of bondage. Lord, it would be better to be a doorkeeper in your house than to have the riches of the world. And Lord, you've honored us. May we honor you. And we thank you for your blessings. And Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to show us, convict us, convince us. Whenever we begin to slip into looking at your blessings as bondage. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Are the ladies coming on the way back? Do you know? I'll probably wait till they get back to mention this. And I would encourage you, we're going to close in a few minutes, but if you can, I would encourage you to hang out, pray with people, talk with people. I'm still finishing up my study for tomorrow, so I'm going to have to duck out of here in a few minutes. But I want to mention something. There's some Bible teachers out there that I really... admire, both, well, mainly for them clinging to the Word and being verse by verse teachers. The creme de la creme is no longer teaching the Word, he's with the Word. That's Pastor Chuck. And one of the things I loved about him is I'd been in churches that were very Pentecostal and been in churches that taught the Word, but it seemed like those were, for a lot of places, mutually exclusive. And to find a place that believed in the supernaturally, work of the Lord, and yet clung to the Word was a beautiful find. And that was more of a man than a movement. It was Pastor Chuck, not necessarily Calvary Chapel per se. A couple other teachers that I like and I enjoy are Warren Wiersbe, J. Vernon McGee, and John MacArthur. Those three, however, are what we would call cessationist, or they believe that God acted a particular way during the Gospels or the writing of the New Testament, but he doesn't act that way anymore. He used to heal. He doesn't heal anymore. I don't know what you do with that verse that says we're supposed to pray for people when they're sick if God doesn't heal. I mean, Jesus, just go ahead and take them home because we know you don't heal no more. I wouldn't want anybody praying for me that was praying that prayer. I will be healed. And the really sad thing is all that is predicated on a really twisted I would say, eisegesis of a passage in Corinthians that says, you know, you don't need to turn there. 1 Corinthians 9 and 10, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. That's talking about the coming of the Lord, the second coming. These folks say that that is when the Bible's completed, which when you need somebody to explain to you what the passage means, otherwise you would miss it, that's dangerous territory. Now, the reason I'm even mentioning this, and I'll keep this somewhat brief, this is not meant to be an exhaustive theological treatise on the Holy Spirit. In Numbers 3, there's two guys, Nadab and Abihu, and what they do is they enter into rebellion, and they decide that they're going to do things in the temple that they've not been called to do. They've not been gifted to do. As a matter of fact, to do them is in itself an act of rebellion. And they offered what's referred to in Scripture as strange fire. Okay? Now, the reason I'm mentioning this to you is you might have people that ask you about it or people talking online or whatever. Because there are people who are sort of not Pentecostal, but open to the things of the Spirit. I heard Charles Stanley teach just an awesome teaching on being filled with the Spirit. And he even talked about the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. I thought, now they were going to kick him out, but it didn't happen. I guess he's too well known for them to do that. But then there are those who say that they don't believe these gifts are for today. And then there's people that go even further, that say any movement of these gifts, any recognition of these gifts is in itself demonic. And it's kind of sad to say that that's where John MacArthur went in this past week. He held a conference called Strange Fire, and it was about how anybody involved in any of the gifts, charismata in the Greek, that's where we get the word charismatic, meaning we believe in the gifts of healing. We believe in the gifts of prophecy, of God speaking to his people, that God still speaks to his people. And he and others took the position that all this was demonic and went so far as to start naming names of anybody who believed in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, anybody who believed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of sad. And if you don't need to listen to the teachings. I've just given you a synopsis so you don't have to go trucking through the trash. I did it for you. But if anybody asks, I wanted to have y'all prepared. Because I know sometimes I get so involved in ministry, I'm not aware of what's going on out there, you know. So just kind of give you a heads up towards that. And in a... I'm not going to sit up here and bash John. He's a great Bible teacher. But this is a weird position. And even weirder is the name of his church is Grace Community. So I don't know how you talk about other believers being filled with demons and call your church Grace, but evidently you can. But instead of dogging him out, I think the way we'll close is to lay hands and pray for each other and ask for God to visit us with his Spirit and stir up those gifts. And we know from the Bible that Paul talks about that gifts can be transferred by the laying on of hands and stirred up that way. So I want to do that, and I'm going to ask I'm going to ask we start by the elders walking around laying hands on people for the first few minutes, and then and after that, anybody who wants to lay hands on somebody else, to just let the Lord lead you. If God gives you a verse for somebody or gives you an encouraging word or something, I would encourage that. The Bible says lay hands on no man suddenly, meaning figure out what somebody's about. You don't just want to lay hands on a Mormon that comes by your house or anything. Well, maybe lay hands on him in a different way. But since we know each other, we can do this openly and look forward to what the Lord's going to do. And I don't think there's we'll just let the Holy Spirit move. And this is, there's probably not going to be a close to this meeting. We're just going to pray for people. And, you know, in a few minutes, if you need to go, I get that. I understand it. I'm going to have to slip out at some point. But let's let the Lord have his way. And let me pray. And Randy, if you can play some worship music while we pray for people, that'd be awesome. God, thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, thank you for that verse. That you give us the Holy Spirit so we can be witnesses. Lord, the primary thing is to empower us to walk out this walk following you. And Lord, we thank you that you are a God who still heals. Yahweh Rapha. Lord, thank you. Thank you for that, God, that you're a God who still speaks to us. And not just through pastors and teachers, but God, you will speak directly to us. Lord, thank you that you're not silent. You didn't stop talking when the New Testament was finished. And Lord, may we win over people who are afraid of the Holy Spirit by our love for you and our love for them. Lord, we ask that you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit and that you would stir up the gifts that are in us and that you would supernaturally deposit new ones in us even. And Lord, we thank you that we don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for that passage in the Word where you say, look, if you ask for a bread, I'm not going to give you a stone or a serpent. And how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for, not it, for him? So Lord, we're asking for you. We're asking for your Holy Spirit. We're asking for fresh fire and a fresh infilling and the stirring up. And thank you for the model that we see in the Word of these things.